The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Coming up on the roundup today, a council CEO resigns, Greater Geelong returns to the G21 alliance, Latrobe's future-focused plan for municipal waste, Warrnambool to review animal shelter management, construction projects halted in Shoalhaven, a cashless transition in Dubbo, a long-standing mayor concedes defeat in Queensland, a Tasmanian mayor's higher political ambitions, and arrests made over the 2018 alleged murder of a South American councillor. Just some of the many local government stories getting our attention today. Let's round them up now. Hello there, welcome to the Local Government News Roundup. I'm Chris Eddy, back with another curated selection of news from and about councils across Australia and beyond. The podcast is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. Golden Plains Shire Council CEO Eric Brasless has resigned after over 6 years of service. Mayor Brett Cunningham has paid tribute to Mr. Brasless's contribution to the organisation during his tenure, leading the council through a transformative period, navigating challenges including the COVID-19 pandemic and achieving significant milestones, such as the construction of the Civic Centre and the implementation of the Growing Places strategy. His leadership has also resulted in record levels of funding for the Shire and improvements in organisational culture and staff satisfaction. Mr. Brasless was previously CEO of Gannawarra Shire Council for 2.5 years and has held senior roles at Hobsons Bay, Ballarat, Stonington and Greater Shepparton councils. It's understood he's taking up a director-level position at the City of Wyndham. The search for a new CEO at Golden Plains will commence immediately. The City of Greater Geelong Council has voted to renew its partnership with the G21 Geelong Region Alliance, aiming to strengthen relationships with neighbouring councils and boost investment and job opportunities. The renewed membership comes with a reduced financial contribution following a review into advocacy processes. The decision reverses a position taken last April when the council voted to leave the alliance and to undertake greater in-house advocacy. The G21 will soon release its 2024 priority projects list, including upgrades to transportation, investment in cultural and tourism infrastructure, and faster delivery of mental health hubs. Latrobe City Council has decided to send municipal waste to the Merivale Energy from Waste facility, which will convert waste into energy for the Opal Merivale paper mill, reducing reliance on the national grid. The decision aligns with the Council's transition plan to develop local industry, reduce environmental impact and support local employment. The facility is expected to be operational by 2028. The Council is also advocating for industry diversification, economic growth, skilled employment opportunities and investment in recycling and remanufacturing industries. East Gippsland Shire Council has completed a feasibility plan for an arts and culture precinct in Bairnsdale CBD. The precinct would provide creative spaces for various pursuits, serving as a hub for the local area. The feasibility study, conducted by Williams Ross Architects, is the first step, assessing the project's viability and setting the stage for community involvement. The council is now seeking funding to move the project into the design phase. RSPCA Victoria will stop operating the Warrnambool Animal Shelter after the 30th of June as the council explores alternative operating arrangements. The shelter has been run by RSPCA Victoria for over 20 years and cares for approximately 1,200 animals annually. The council plans to maintain a shelter focused on returning lost animals and rehoming those whose owners' circumstances have changed, and will invest in building improvements in the coming years. Calls for the City of Casey to purchase the heritage-listed Captain Doveton House, currently on sale for $850,000, are unlikely to succeed, according to a report from the Berwick News. The Doveton Eumemmering Township Association is urging the council to prevent the building from falling into private hands and potential neglect. It argues that the council could use the property for various purposes while preserving its heritage value. Despite the property's historical significance, the council says it has no plans to acquire it. Yarra Rangers Council is calling on state and federal governments to support key community projects as part of its updated advocacy agenda. The projects include infrastructure for population growth, community health and sports participation, township improvement, road construction, telecommunications, mental health services, maternal and child health and housing. The council is also seeking ongoing investment in local tourism projects. Central Goldfields Shire Council has also adopted a new advocacy strategy this week with a focus on services and infrastructure delivered by other levels of government. Priority areas include children and families, jobs and industry, digital and transport connectivity, and affordable housing. Wyndham City Council has approved the integrated strategic plan for the Wyndham Stadium precinct in Tarneit. The ISP, developed in collaboration with consultants and stakeholders, outlines a roadmap for future planning initiatives, including the Oakbank Precinct Structure Plan, potential adjustments to the Riverdale Precinct Structure Plan, and the Riverdale Major Town Centre Urban Design Framework. Werribee News reported that the plan focuses on seamless integration, livability and sustainability, with proposals including the relocation of Sayers Road and the strategic placement of the future Sayers Road Railway Station. In other news briefly, Wodonga Council is restructuring to streamline service delivery and reduce its budget. Local radio station Edge FM reported that the changes have been informed by a financial assessment and have led to three redundancies and staff redeployments. The Community Development Directorate portfolios will be absorbed into other directorates. An avenue of flags is among options being put to the Greater Shepparton community for public recognition of First Nations, migrant and refugee communities. Community input is being solicited through a survey, with the consultation period running through the 24th of April. Other recognition options include an artwork, a mural or community spaces. Golden Plains Shire's Create and Connect program, a series of storytelling and art sessions for community members living with dementia, has won the LG Pro 2024 Positive Ageing and Wellbeing Award. The program, delivered in partnership with Geelong Regional Libraries, has been recognised for its exceptional impact on the community and its support for those experiencing early onset dementia and their caregivers. And Mildura residents with curbside recycling and rubbish collection will receive a new 120-litre purple-lidded glass recycling bin next month as part of a mandatory state government rollout. The new bin, to be emptied once a month, will help in reusing more items and reducing waste. From July, households will sort waste into four streams: glass recycling, mixed recycling, food and garden organics, and general rubbish. More news around this week than we can fit in one episode, but you might like to read a couple of stories from The Age, stories about the ongoing war against rubbish dumping, particularly dumped tyres. One story focuses on efforts by the EPA and the City of Wyndham to identify those responsible for dumping over 1,000 tyres in Truganina, while another reveals an extraordinary story of how over 100,000 old tyres were dumped on a rural property in Mildura, unbeknown to its owner. Links to both of those stories are in the show notes. Let's head interstate now, into New South Wales, and Shoalhaven City Council has decided to pause several construction projects to address its current financial situation. The decision follows recommendations from a financial sustainability review to increase revenue and cut costs. The paused projects include the refurbishment of the Bay and Basin Leisure Centre, construction of the Bob Proudfoot Pavilion, and redevelopment of the Bomaderry Basketball Stadium, among others. The council will also investigate a Sanctuary Point District Library redesign and defer outdoor dining fees consideration to the new council. The council is working on its draft budget for next year, focusing on financial stability, including increasing fees, charges and rates, and prioritising asset maintenance over new capital projects. Dubbo Regional Council's waste facilities and transfer stations will transition to cashless operations from the 1st of July to reduce property damage and increase staff efficiency. The change follows $470,000 of damage to facilities and the closure of the last banking institution in Wellington. The cashless operation is expected to save money on repairs and insurance claims and save staff time on banking trips. The change will apply to all DRC waste facilities and all cards will be accepted without additional merchant charges. Snowy Monaro Regional Council has submitted a proposal to the New South Wales Government regarding regulations for short-term rental accommodations, advocating for a balanced approach that protects residents without negatively affecting tourism. The council says it recognises the benefits of short-term rentals to the tourist industry, but is concerned about the impact on housing affordability and availability. The proposal suggests new regulations should balance the need for affordable housing with the continuation of short-term rentals that support the region's tourism economy. Newcastle City Council is expecting to save around 12 tonnes of paper annually through its transition to an employee self-service solution from Technology One. The move away from manual paper-based timesheets equates to saving 1 billion litres of water, as well as a reduction in time and money. Newcastle is one of the first local governments in New South Wales to switch to 100% renewable electricity. The digital transformation is also expected to increase efficiency, with 80% of the manual data entry work predicted to disappear, allowing staff to focus on more value-adding tasks. To Queensland, after 12 years in office, Townsville's first female mayor, Jenny Hill, has formally conceded election defeat to independent Troy Thompson. ABC News reported on Ms. Hill's concession yesterday. The election of Mr. Thompson as mayor has since been declared by the Electoral Commission. The election outcome reflects a wider wave against incumbent politicians across northern Queensland. Mr. Thompson is a former state election candidate who was disendorsed by One Nation and, according to The Guardian, has the backing of conspiracy theorists and is banned from stepping foot in the Queensland Parliament. There are still some results outstanding some 11 days after the Queensland local government elections. They include the mayor and some councillor positions at Sunshine Coast and the councillor positions at Noosa Shire. But in Rockhampton, the new council has been sworn in this week, including Tony Williams, the returned mayor, five returned councillors and two new faces. To Tasmania now, and Glenorchy Mayor Bec Thomas plans to run as an independent for the Legislative Council seat of Elwick. Her announcement follows the resignation of Labor's Josh Willey, which has triggered a by-election which will be held on the 4th of May. A second Legislative Council by-election will be held on the same day due to the resignation of Jane Howlett from the Division of Prosser. The University of Tasmania is partnering with the Australian Government, Devonport City Council and local organisations to establish a rural health training facility in East Devonport. The initiative is part of Devonport's Living Well Health and Wellbeing strategy and aims to enhance interprofessional training for students, improve access to health information and foster local talent in healthcare. The East Devonport Recreation and Function Centre will serve as the base for the initiative, with final operational details expected to be concluded later this year. To South Australia, and Adelaide City Council will investigate the reinstatement of a rate rebate for aged and disability pensioners in its upcoming budget, In Daily has reported this week. The council previously provided a $100 annual concession rate rebate for eligible pensioners until the 2021-22 financial year. Councillor Phil Martin proposed that the rebate be reintroduced in recognition of the cost of living crisis, estimating it would cost the council $35,000 but would significantly benefit pensioners. Bill Verwey has resigned as a councillor at the District Council of Yankalilla. Mr. Verwey's decision was reported to be for personal reasons which require his attention and focus. The move signals more change at the council, coming just a few weeks after Tim Moffat resigned the deputy mayoral role over reported differences of opinion with the mayor, Daryl Houston. And in Western Australia, the City of Perth Council has rejected a proposal to remove free night parking in the CBD, planning to continue the initiative until at least April next year. Despite the city losing more than $9 million due to free parking, Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis said it has resonated with the community and it supports local business. Parking costs will increase in other areas, however, with boom-gated and non-boom-gated car parks seeing price increases effective from the 1st of May. More on that story from Perth Now. And Busselton Council has extended its trial of hireable e-scooters until November, following a 12-month trial and a community survey. Despite 62.4% of local residents expressing concerns about the e-scooters, the supplier, Neuron, has offered to make improvements to address the issues. The improvements include designated parking areas and slower speed restrictions. The trial's extension is contingent on these improvements being implemented. More news briefly. Internationally recognised graffiti artist Nicholas Stewart, also known as Olas One, has been commissioned by the City of Newcastle to create a new mural in the pedestrian tunnel at Newcastle Beach. Stewart is the third artist to work on the site, following murals by Birgit Hansen in 1990 and Trevor Dickinson in 2011. The new mural, inspired by Stewart's love of the ocean, is expected to be completed next month. Tenterfield Shire Council has appointed Mr. Hein Basson as its new general manager. Mr. Basson was the GM of Glen Innes, Severn and Coonamble Shire Councils and has 36 years' experience in local government. His appointment from next month follows the resignation last year of Daryl Buckingham. The search is underway for the next CEO of the City of Adelaide. Davidson is partnering with the council to recruit a replacement for Claire Mockler, who stepped down in December to return to the UK for family reasons. WA's Shire of Ashburton has a new councillor. Roseanne Kapoor has been sworn in following an extraordinary election earlier this month. Her term will run through October 2027. And two local cricket initiatives in Hornsby Shire promoting diversity have won at the Cricket New South Wales 2024 Community Cricket Awards. The Mark Taylor Oval Indoor Cricket Centre was named Indoor Cricket Facility of the Year, and the Hornsby, Ku'ringai and Hills District Cricket Association won in the Women and Girls Initiative category for its girls cricket competition. You're listening to the Local Government News Roundup for the 28th of March 2024. It's our final episode before the Easter break, and it's brought to you, as always, by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, and by Davidson, the nationally recognised recruitment and business advisory service. Time now for the International Spotlight. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has denied a crisis in council finances during a Commons Liaison Committee meeting this week, despite concerns raised about a potential £4 billion funding gap for councils. Mr. Sunak acknowledged that there are challenges, but said more funding has been allocated to local government, including a £600 million boost in the most recent financial settlement. He said the grant from central government to councils has doubled in cash terms since 2019. However, the Local Government Chronicle reported that despite questioning, he would not confirm future spending plans for the Department for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities. Lord Morse, the interim chair of the Office for Local Government, has announced that he will be stepping down from his role at the end of March for unexpected health reasons. Lord Morse was appointed as interim chair in January 2023 and has provided independent advice and support in Offlog's first phase. The UK Department for Transport has announced a £185 million funding boost to 44 local authorities to accelerate the rollout of electric vehicle charging infrastructure. The funding aims to speed up the installation of EV charge points and facilitate the switch from petrol or diesel cars to EVs. Meanwhile, £5.7 million has been allocated to support the rollout of electric buses across East Yorkshire, replacing the existing diesel-powered buses. The funding is part of the government's Zero Emission Bus Regional Areas scheme and will cover the cost of 40 electric buses and charging equipment. Councillor Mike Rowley is set to become the first openly gay and neurodivergent Lord Mayor of Oxford, with his tenure starting in 2024-25. The Oxford Mail reported that the traditional mayor-making ceremony will take place at Oxford Town Hall in May, where outgoing Lord Mayor, Councillor Lubna Arshad, will pass on the chains of office to Mr. Rowley. In the US, a new regulation in New York City will significantly limit emissions from coal and wood-fired stoves in restaurants, impacting over 100 eateries, many of which are pizzerias. The rule requires these restaurants to install a filter system that reduces emissions by 75%. The filters are costly, though, and council member Justin Brannan says he plans to introduce legislation for a tax credit to help restaurateurs. The website Gothamist reports that while the law takes effect next month, fines for non-compliance will not be issued until next year. In Brazil, police have arrested three individuals, including a federal lawmaker and a former police chief, for planning and ordering the 2018 murder of Rio de Janeiro City Council member Marielle Franco and her driver. The arrests close a six-year-old case that exposed the infiltration of organized crime into public institutions in Rio. The investigation revealed the involvement of militias and organized crime in Rio's political and public bodies. And to New Zealand, John Boswell, who previously held the most senior officer role in the New Zealand Army, has been appointed as the new chief executive of the Marlborough District Council. The council said it was impressed by Boswell's vision, strategic thinking, leadership skills and experience. He'll join the council on the 1st of August, replacing outgoing chief executive Mark Wheeler. And Hastings District Council has cancelled a Rainbow Storytime event, which was to be hosted by drag performers due to safety concerns following a large number of threatening messages. Radio New Zealand reported that the decision came after protests planned by Destiny Church and incidents of vandalism involving church members. The council had previously run similar events without issues, but the escalation of hateful rhetoric and the potential for aggressive protests led to the cancellation. Now, before we go, breaking news as we record this episode. The Lord Mayor of the City of Melbourne, Sally Capp, has announced she is standing down from the position after 6 years in office. She said in a statement this morning, "It is with mixed emotions that I announce I'll not be contesting the next election." The announcement follows weeks of speculation about Ms. Capp's intentions and reports that Deputy Lord Mayor Nicholas Rees has been canvassing the business community for support for a run at the Lord Mayoralty. More on that from The Age and no doubt other news outlets through the course of today. Now you're up to date from the local government news roundup. This issue recorded on the 28th of March 2024 and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. All of the links to the stories I've referenced in the episode you'll find in a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com, and some podcast players display that transcript with links as well. While you're at the website, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time, and it's greatly appreciated if you're able to do that. The local government news roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news after the Easter weekend. Until next time, thanks for listening, and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on Standing for Local Government and Local Women Leading Change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.